We want our children to have good judgment, but none of us want to raise a child who is judgmental. What is the difference between these two, and how can we walk this fine line? That's what I'm going to dive into in today's episode. This is Hi Fam. I'm Avital. Welcome back to the podcast, and I hope you had a chance to hear the episode that I recorded all about bringing back judgment, guilt, and shame. Lord knows, sometimes our societies need a little bit more of these emotions. But one of the things that I think you can get very concerned about, and one of the questions that I got asked the most since that episode is, great, I want my child to have good judgment. I want to be able to teach them the difference between right and wrong, good and bad. I want them to make good choices, and I want to tell them when people are making choices that aren't good. But I also don't want them to be judgmental. I don't want them to be jerks. I don't want them to be rude. I don't want them to be mean to people. And I don't want them to have this kind of holier than thou, preaching from on high vibe, which I completely understand. And it's something that I've given quite a lot of thought to. How do we impart a particular family culture, right? Our vision and our values to our children without them then maybe passing judgments just kind of indiscriminately about other people and their lifestyles, or feeling very kind of self-righteous and preachy, right? That's a good question. Or just being really tactless and saying to other people things that might hurt their feelings, right? So the first thing that I want to say about that is some part of me wants to say, because this has become such a cultural taboo and something that everyone's so afraid of, everyone's so self-censoring these days, right? Just don't say that. Don't share that. Don't use that word. Don't make that face. I don't know. There's just so much fear around being perceived as being judgmental in any kind of way that part of me wants to just push back on that and say, number one is that we teach our kids that it's okay to sometimes be a bit judgmental. Like, being a bit judgmental, if you have to err on one side or the other, I would prefer my kids to come off a little bit judgy than to have no judgment. Like, I don't think we have to choose between these two options. But if we did have to choose, I think it's worse to teach kids to tiptoe and to be timid or weak or morally incompetent, to have a weak backbone, to be confused, and to think everything's relative, every behavior goes, it's okay, that's just their culture, that's just their way. No, it's not okay. You know it's wrong. You should be able to say it's wrong. And it's okay to sometimes offend people. I do want my kids to be polite and tactful and kind. And we're going to talk about all of that for the majority of this episode. But the first point that I want to say is sometimes you have to let people be honest. Not be robotic, not be self-censored, not be politically correct about everything that they say, and not be so entirely measured about exactly what they say to the extent that they don't tell the truth or that they won't share their honest opinion because they're so afraid of other people's reactions. Now, is there a time and a place for this? Of course. Should you go off on a judgy rant at a job interview? No. Should you post things indiscriminately to social media? No, you've got to use some common sense, and children don't always have common sense because they're kids. But it is also important to teach them that other people could be offended by anything, and that doesn't mean that you shouldn't stand up for something when you see something's wrong, or that you shouldn't say, hey, that's not my way of life, or that's not my value system, or I don't believe in that, or I don't want to behave that way, or I don't want to partake, or standing up for someone, because it's okay if other people get offended. Repeat after me. Other people are allowed to get offended. Other people choosing to get offended. Yes, it is a choice. This is something I teach in my Alchemize course. They can choose to be offended. That is their choice. And it's okay for you to offend people if, you know, if what you're saying is within what you believe is right and true and good. People can be offended by absolutely anything, and people all over the world are. Literally anything. Choose anything. Choose anything. Choose something that you eat. Choose any food that you eat. Any food that you eat. I could find someone in the world who would find it offensive. Any food. Okay. That's just an example. Okay. Anything that you wear, any clothes that you wear, someone in the world is going to find offensive. So what, should you not eat food and wear clothes? Any job you have, any house you live in, someone somewhere finds offensive. So there's got to be a limit to how much we can take into account what other people find offensive. And that limit is where our values step in, living in accordance to what we judge as good, making our life, right? Living our life in a way that we think is the right way to live for us, not for everyone. For us, fine, that's true. But other people are allowed to be offended by that. Other people are allowed to dislike us. Other people are allowed to judge us unfavorably. Other people are allowed to be insulted and they're allowed to be, you know, upset about us. And it's okay to be judgmental sometimes. And I learned this in a really good way. My very close friend, Em, who I've mentioned before, you know, I was always a little bit nervous because my husband can be very opinionated and he can share his opinions very strongly. And they can sometimes be a bit controversial or triggering for people. And my initial kind of instinct was to silence him and to tell him, you know, to self-censor. And to be like, oh, well, just please don't share what you really think. Just talk about something else. Just avoid that topic because people will judge us, because people will be offended, because people won't like it. And my friend, God bless her, my friend really put me in my place. And she was like, can you leave him alone? Can you let him be himself and share what he has to say? He's not saying anything, you know, awful or terrible. He's just sharing his opinions. And if other people disagree and don't want to be friends with him as a result or get insulted as a result, that's their choice. He should say what he really thinks and he should be who he really is. And it's okay if other people don't like that. And I think to an extent that is wise advice. And we should teach our children not to be too self-censoring or too afraid when passing judgments about what they think is right or wrong. Okay, that's point number one. Now we're going to put it to one side. Okay, and we're going to talk about all the other things that we do want to teach them that can help them. So we want our children to be able to discern and to be able to make good choices and to be able to say, this choice is more beneficial than that choice. And here's why. We want them to have logical, critical thinking skills and the ability to think through things both from an ethical and utilitarian standpoint, right? And say, wait, this is, you know, eating in this way, I think is a good choice. Dressing in this way, I think is a good choice. You know, going to these activities or reading these books or watching these movies, I think these are good choices. And here's why. Here's the values that they promote and here's the values that they don't promote. And so I think it's good. Okay. So yeah, we want to teach them to have that judgment and that discernment, but we also want to teach them to offer other people the benefit of the doubt. And if you see someone else who's not exactly behaving in accordance to what you believe is right. Say they're voting in a way that you don't believe is right. They're eating in a way that you don't believe is right. They're dressing in a way that you think is wrong. I want you to teach your child to offer the benefit of the doubt, okay? To not assume that you know everything about that person. Not assume that you know their struggles, that you know their belief system, that you understand exactly what they're doing in the full picture of their life, because you don't. So that's being judgmental. Having judgment is understanding for yourself and the choices that you want to make and what you think is better in the world. Being judgmental is imposing that on others in a disrespectful way and assuming that you know better for them or assuming that you know things about them that you may not know. So you've got to stay open-minded in that regard, right? You've got to recognize that your judgments are not infallible. They remain open to reinterpretation. We've all made mistakes. We've all changed our mind on things, right? So we have to remain open to new information, to new perspectives that might challenge our assumptions. And that's something we have to teach our kids, right? Just a little bit of humility here. Be humble and realize that you might not know something that this person knows, okay? That you might not have learned something, right? So you want to avoid being too rigid or too closed off to alternative viewpoints. Now, with that said, you don't want to be so open-minded that your brain falls out, right? In the proverbial metaphor, where the idea that you could be so open-minded that you lose your judgment. So you want to keep your judgment. You want to keep that critical thinking. You want to be slightly suspicious and slightly push back on ideas and, you know, ask for evidence and ask for reasons and get to the bottom of things and think clearly. But you also want to leave, you know, a 10% sliver, like a window open for the idea that I could be wrong, right? Like this is my belief system and I'm going with it full force, gung ho, I'm committed, but I could be wrong. Like for example, I advocate for marriage, right? I think marriage is beneficial. That's a judgment that I pass. Not everybody is married. Some people choose not to get married. Some people don't succeed in getting married, don't find a marriage partner. Some people's marriages fail and they get divorced. you know, and so it sounds very judgmental of me when I say I think marriage is beneficial, but I have to leave room open for the idea that, yeah, marriage may be beneficial in a majority of cases. It may overall, right, overall offer more benefits than its alternatives. It might have a lot of evidence to support that, certainly when it comes to raising children, et cetera, et cetera. But it would be judgmental of me if I overgeneralized, right? And if I was making broad sweeping judgments about entire groups of people and saying it's true for everyone all of the time, that becomes stereotypical. That means that I'm not recognizing the complexities, the nuance, right? The individual, you know, realities. And that means I'm being closed-minded. I'm not allowing other viewpoints or alternative realities to come in to my judgment. So my judgment is still there. I still judge marriage to be overall better than its alternatives, but there are times and places where the alternatives are just necessary or are just the reality, right? And that's why I think another thing to teach our children is to use language carefully, right? Like, we got to be mindful of the language that we use when expressing our judgments. We've got to choose words that are respectful, that are not inflammatory, that are focused on specific observations rather than making these, you know, general sweeping value judgments, but saying, look, there's evidence for this. There's research for this. This seems more beneficial. In my experience, this works, right? But whilst we're doing that, also seeking understanding, right? Not completely limiting other people's points of view, right? We don't want to immediately jump to the conclusions. We want to take the time to gather the information, to understand the context before forming these judgments. And that can really help us prevent misunderstandings and misinterpretations. And that's where we do seek to understand the other side, right? We call this steel manning, right? It's the opposite of straw manning. When you steel man the other person's argument, where you say, well, I really want to understand why you think this is a better lifestyle choice, right? Or why you think this is, you know, okay or good, right? And you see this in positive cultures of debate, where people know how to hold respectful debates. And they say, well, look, I really disagree with you, but I can see where you're coming from. I understand your perspective, right? And that's not judgmental. I still have my judgment. I still have my decision, right? You can look at this in any debates, like pro-life versus pro-choice, or vaccines versus anti-vax, or any of the controversial debates. We've really, as a culture, lost the ability to respectfully disagree. And I think that's something we really have to teach our children, that you can really strongly disagree. You can hold your position impassionately, but you still need to be respectful of the other side. You need to also leave a small sliver of humbleness in your mind, being like, look, I may yet discover some piece of information that's going to completely change my mind on this. I may yet, you know, have some epiphany or realization or enlightening moment that that completely casts everything in a new light. But barring that, I hold my beliefs and opinions strongly, with a backbone, you know, clearly, with clarity. I'm not confused about them, but I can also respectfully disagree. I can see that you're a human being. I can see that you came by your opinions honestly. I can see that you think you're right. You believe that this is a good way of behaving. You think that this is the right choice. And, you know, I respect you as an individual. And that's another useful point to teach our children, is to focus on their behaviors, not them as people, right? Not making sweeping judgments about someone's character in general, unless that's appropriate. Some people are liars, you know, some people are violent criminals. Some people are, you know, evil. They have evil belief systems, and they are, you know, genuinely bigoted or whatever it is that they are. Some people are, but generally, it can be helpful in avoiding being too judgmental to focus on the actions that you dislike and that you disagree with, right? Because then you can actually address the issues more constructively and without making personal attacks, which is generally going to be way more respectful and useful, and also something that you want for your child. Like, you don't want your child calling people names, attacking individuals, right? You want them to be able to focus on, which choices do I agree or disagree with in this, you know, in this circumstance? And so we do want them to respect differences, right? We do want our child to recognize that people do have different values, different belief systems, different experiences that shape them, their actions. We want to respect these differences even when we disagree with them and avoid imposing our standards onto others unless, you know, unless those standards... There are times when you have to impose your standards onto others. There are times when you have to protest, where you have to, you know, work to change things, etc. But in general, with most cases, we want to teach our children to focus on their own selves, right? It's that Jordan Peterson idea of tidying up your own room first, making your bed, charity begins at home, all of that stuff. People in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks. Why? Because you yourself are still fallible in this area. So I think for children, that's especially true. They're so undeveloped. They're so young. We have to really promote growth and learning before they kind of project their judgments onto others, right? So if you do feel a judgment about someone else, maybe it's an opportunity for growth and learning both about yourself and about others. And it can encourage dialogue and self-reflection and continuous improvements rather than just fostering defensiveness or resentment of other people. So if I was to kind of sum up everything I'm saying here is that we want to teach our children to focus on the behaviors, not necessarily the individuals, to practice empathy, to offer constructive feedback, right? To be solutions oriented, to focus on helping that person maybe improve rather than criticizing them. Although in most places, kids don't need to offer any feedback. They need to stay open-minded and avoid generalizations. They need to use their language carefully, seek understanding and respect differences. So we do want to teach them all of those mindsets, but we don't want to teach them to lose their judgment altogether. Like it's okay for me to say the way that that person, you know, is, I don't know, talking to their friends is wrong. I disagree with it. I don't think it's okay. It's not okay. I'm not okay with it. I pass judgment on it. I judge that to be wrong. I still need to respect them. I still need to, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. I still need to not jump to too many conclusions and assumptions. I should probably examine myself in this area before I go on some kind of tirade towards them. But you know, I offer the benefit of the doubt. I offer charitable interpretations. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they had a hard day, et cetera, et cetera. But I still have judgment. I'm not going to say, oh, I can't, you know, I'm judgment free. I don't judge anything. That's step number two. Okay. So step number one was remembering that it's okay to be judgmental sometimes. It's okay to offend people. It's better to be judgmental than to not have any judgment. Step number two is to soften your judgmentalness, right? To stay in the place of judgment without projecting all sorts of assumptions and not offering the benefit of the doubt to the other. And the third is to teach your child basic tact. You want to be able to say, certainly in the privacy of your own family, around the dinner table, in the car, whatever, you want to be able to say what you think is right and wrong, what you agree and disagree with, what your values and belief system upholds, what you want to platform, what you want your child to emulate, what is a good role model and what is not a good role model. You want to say, there are some things out there in our culture today that are truly terrible for children to believe are okay, right? There are all sorts of ideas that would be harmful for our children not to judge. They should judge them, right? Like I tell my child certain things like, you know, there's a tendency for a lot of young people to engage in self-harm, right? And I think that's wrong. I think that's not a good plan. I think that's, I judge that to be a poor decision. Okay, I'm going to share that with my child, right? I think a lot of the dictates of gender ideology are deeply flawed and wrong. I'm going to tell my child that. I think a lot of the ideas of the body positivity movement are wrong. And I'm going to tell my child that I hold these judgments, okay? I think it's important to eat healthily. I think it's important to treat your body with respect. I think you need to accept your body and cherish it and treat it carefully, etc. Those are things I think just, you know, all of these happen to be about body, right? It's just one example where I have judgments. I want my child to know that they are in the right body, that they need to treat that body with respect, and that it's up to them to eat healthily and to move and all these different things. Yeah, I have judgments. I have ideas around that. Okay. I have opinions. I have beliefs that other people will find controversial. Or other people won't agree with. Okay. Fair enough. That's fair enough. I need to be able to voice those to my children because how on earth am I going to lead them? How on earth am I going to guide them with my values if I can't voice those because I'll fear being too judgmental or being seen as being judgmental, which is such a taboo. But I also don't want my child just parroting things or being rude or being disrespectful. I need to teach them tact. And this is something we need to teach children in general. You need to teach your child that you don't, they don't talk about, I don't know, if they hear you and your partner talking about your financial situation, that that's private information. They don't just blurt it out in the middle of the supermarket to everyone. That, you know, you don't point at people. You don't talk about people in front of them or behind their back in a whispering tone, right? That, you know, someone might look different than us. Someone might have a disability. Someone might have a very different style choice. Someone might have different skin color or a different body size, or all sorts of things might be different about them. But you don't point, you don't laugh, you don't ask rude questions. If you have questions, you can ask me, right? You can ask me politely afterwards, etc. These are the types of things we have to teach our children anyway. And so we have to teach our children that even if we judge certain lifestyles or certain belief systems poorly, right? Even if we disagree with them, we still owe them dignity and respect, and you still are expected to have basic tact. And so you don't just say it out loud, you don't just say it to people's face, and you need to be careful with certain opinions that you have. You know, you don't want to be massively confrontational or contrarian or provocative in an unnecessary way. That's not good for you either, right? I pass judgment on that too. Like, hold up, especially as a kid, you got to be humble because you're not aware of the consequences of just blurting out your opinions. Now, if you have like a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, a tween, you know, and onwards, teenagers, your kids are going to start developing their own opinions, their political opinions, their religious beliefs. They're going to have judgments on the world. They're going to say some groups are wrong, that they don't like some particular groups of people, right? That could happen. Not every kid is going to kind of have opinions, but many will. And that's cool and that's fine, but they also have to understand that they're young and that they don't yet understand the complexities of the world. And they don't yet understand the consequences of saying certain things to certain people in certain contexts, right? Like, you could be being really rude. You could be being unnecessarily offensive. You could be hurting people's feelings without regard, you know, not for any real reason, or not because, well, I have to speak the truth and I just need to be honest. And if that offends you, that offends you. But rather, that's kind of cruel or unnecessary, right? Or reckless. And those are things that we can teach them by explaining to them what things are private, how it might make people feel. Like, I tell my kids, you know, never point at someone, certainly never laugh at someone, and don't talk about people. If you have something to ask me afterwards, oh, why did that person have, you know, this condition or whatever? Okay, we can talk. I'll explain to you happily, but we don't do that in front of them. And similarly, we don't do that with our moral judgments or with our lifestyle beliefs or with our religion without, you know, without regard to the consequences of it or to the social norms. You still need to behave in socially acceptable ways, even if you're strongly opinionated. Like, cool, good for you. But you've got to mitigate that and manage it in a good way. I hope this has helped you to kind of untangle the web of having certain judgments and values and standards, but also teaching our children not to be judgmental and not to, you know, kind of stick them, you know, put their foot in their mouth and be tactless. Because you can have both. You can have clarity on what you think and believe. You can tell the truth. You can be honest. You can be authentic. You can be true to your values and beliefs. And you can still be respectful to others and to society at large. If this episode, you know, maybe it triggered you, maybe it brought up resistance, maybe you found it confronting, or maybe you were just nodding along and agreeing with every word, that's great. I really want to open up the culture of real honest conversation and nuance and debate, and, you know, use this episode to have that conversation in your own home. Make sure to go to hifam.com/the studio to check out my annual membership. The studio is where I help you to build a strong family culture, to lead your family through the whirlwinds and turmoil that is our culture today, to offset and counterbalance the negative influences that are coming at us from all directions, and to build a family home that you love being in, that really stands for your values, that is pleasant, that is well run, and that is enjoyable, and that is meaningful. Much, much love, and I'll see you in the next episode.